You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at price that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey everybody, it's Monday, September 25th, 2023. Welcome to the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, joined by a pal, Michael F. Florio. You know, in the time it took me to do that introduction, the Miami Dolphins have scored another touchdown.
I love that they could have set the record, but Mike McDaniel was like, nah, this is where we're going to draw the line. We're not going to kick a field goal here.
I saw like a lot of people on Twitter saying like, that's even more disrespectful. It's like, we could have set the record, but we decided to take it easy on you and just shut it down for now.
I saw another thing that was like, it was disrespectful to let Russell Wilson still be out there in the fourth quarter. Sean Payton was just like, get out. I don't care.
Just go do whatever you're going to do. 70 points scored by an NFL team against another NFL team in one singular game. That was one of the big takeaways from week 3. We have some of our other biggest takeaways from the week that was. We'll go through some top performers, biggest disappointments, and what exactly do we do now about Kyle Pitts? We'll get into all that and more. But first, let's get to some fantasy headlines, as we always do this time of the show. Big one, this one just announced earlier on Monday morning. Some unfortunate news for Mike Williams and for the Chargers. Williams tore his ACL in the Chargers win over the Minnesota Vikings on Sunday. He will miss the remainder of the season. First off, Florio, obviously tough news for Williams. Individually, the NFL is what the NFL is. So who is the next man up for the Bolts with Williams gone?
Yeah, this sucks for Mike Williams. He was having on pace, I think, to have a monstrous season if he stayed healthy. I think it's not one specific player. I think it's two guys between Josh Palmer and Quentin Johnston. I think Palmer is probably the safer bet and the one you could rely on more immediately. But Quentin Johnston is the one that I'm more interested in because I think long term, He is the upside play. He is a player that I've loved since the draft, and now I think he'll get a larger opportunity moving forward.
What was interesting about Quentin Johnston, especially at TCU, is he was a guy who was a downfield threat. He had a huge average depth of target at TCU, but also had a big yards after catch number. Generally, you get one or the other out of a wide receiver. You don't get both. So far, he really hasn't been able to get on the field consistently, hasn't really been able to be a big target earner. The on-field opportunity is going to rise, without a doubt. As you mentioned, I think in the short term, Josh Palmer's the guy who sees the uptick in targets. Even before the injury, it looked like Justin Herbert was trying to get Palmer more involved. So I think it depends on your needs at wide receiver. If you have depth and you're willing to wait, I think Quentin Johnston's probably the guy you go after. If you need help right away, maybe you lost Mike Williams, then Josh Palmer's probably the guy that you want to target in this offense. But man, a tough blow for Mike Williams himself. 19 catches, 249 yards, and a touchdown. And as you mentioned, on pace, it seemed like, for really, really big things this season. The Chargers just cannot have nice things. Ugh, man. Derek Carr suffered a shoulder injury in New Orleans' loss to the Green Bay Packers. Now, according to our own Ian Rappaport, Carr is believed to have suffered an AC sprain. There is some good news. Seems to have avoided a more serious injury than what was originally expected, but it does look like he is going to miss some time. I guess the upside, though, it does not look like he's going to miss the remainder of the season. So, things turn now to Jameis Winston. I don't know that a lot of people are rushing out to go get Jameis because a lot of people weren't starting Derek Carr, but Jameis is going to be in there throwing those YOLO balls. Who benefits the most?
I think Chris Olave benefits the most because we saw last year, Jameis Winston is not afraid to just air it out to his number one wide receiver. I think it probably means good things for Rashid Shaheed as well, who is one of the most explosive wideouts in the league. But Michael Thomas is still doing his thing and getting volume as well. It's weird to say the Saints might have three fantasy relevant wide receivers moving forward.
You would think so, although it was weird because the first few weeks, I mean, Derek Carr was good enough, but he wasn't really pushing the ball downfield. Olave was kind of the only guy we were getting any real production out of. I do like the Rashid Shaheed take because he's crushing in air yards. He's the big downfield threat. He is the field stretcher. His average depth of target in week three was 63 yards. Now, mind you, he didn't have a whole lot of targets. He just had the one target.
Still.
And it was not catchable. He didn't catch it. But still, the point is, he's the guy they want as the lid lifter. And with Jameis Winston throwing those YOLO balls, Rashid Shaheed is likely to see some big opportunities. Still want Chris Olave. I
mean, oh, yeah.
Without a doubt.
Must start wide receiver. And while we're on the Saints, Alvin Kamara's back.
He's back.
Is week four now officially, I guess, after tonight. Get him. I'm going to start Alvin Kamara.
I'm starting Alvin Kamara.
He's back.
I have him on a lot of lineups where I was like just trying to piecemeal the running back position just to get through. So now that Kamara's back, presumably, it's all system to go.
Agreed.
100%. So those are some of the things that we figured out over the weekend. But now we got some more things that we learned in week three. Three apiece. That equals six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What is the first thing that you learned from this weekend?
The Jets backfield right now is unusable for fantasy football. I know Breece Hall had an uptick in snaps this week. He played 48%, had 12 carries, 2 targets. My timeline is a bunch of people telling me that Dalvin Cook is the worst running back in the NFL. Dalvin Cook had more yards on fewer touches than Breece Hall did this week. Neither one of them got to 30. Michael Carter's eating into the volume right now. And then they played the Chiefs this week. They could be down multiple scores 5 minutes into this game, and then they're going to have to abandon the run again. I think Breece Hall is a player that you clearly want on your roster. Once he gets more work, he brings a ton of upside. But right now, playing Breece Hall is hoping for a long run, and that's about it, it seems.
I would even extend that to just the Jets' offensive skill position players in general, because I think that applies to Garrett Wilson as well. I mean, week one, you look at his catchable targets. He had 100% catchable. Everything thrown his way was catchable. Although I think that's dubious because he had the one like ridiculous catch that he took away from somebody.
It went through Trey White.
Right. So that's kind of dubious. But week two, that dropped to 43%. Week three got slightly better at 63%. It's just hard. We don't trust any of the other Jets receivers. Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Mecole Hardman. Like none of those guys are going to be in your lineup. I think you can just say that the Jets offense is unusable in fantasy right now. What is usable our running backs against the Chicago Bears. I mean, the Bears have a myriad of problems. Last week might have been the worst single week for an NFL franchise in history. Right? You have your defensive coordinator suddenly resign. You have a bunch of equipment like lawnmowers and stuff stolen, like $100,000 worth of equipment stolen from your facility. On top of it, you have your quarterback talking about how he's playing robotic and maybe the coaches are in his head too much and he's got to just figure out how to. It was an awful week. And that was before they went out and got drilled by the Chiefs with Taylor Swift losing her mind in a suite upstairs. The point, though, if you have a running back and they're playing the Chicago Bears, have them in your lineup. Mm-hmm. We on this show are sort of dubious about Isaiah Pacheco, but we were both unanimous about, hey, start Isaiah Pacheco, get himself a nice day. It just is. It doesn't make sense to sit him. I mean, the weeks 2 and 3, you had Rashad White go off.
Yeah.
You had Isaiah Pacheco go off. Week 1, Aaron Jones did it as a pass catcher. He was okay as a runner, but had a ton of yards catching the football. Just start your running backs against the Bears.
The Chiefs running backs, all 3 of them scored a touchdown this week. They had combined for 4. The Bears went out and played a game, and no one cares about the game at all. They only care about who was watching. That tells you something.
No one is talking about the Bears right now. That's where it is. More running back talk, though. You have somebody that you're keeping an eye on.
Yeah, this is 100% Travis Etienne's backfield until they get near the goal line. And that is extremely frustrating for fantasy purposes. Like yesterday, Travis Etienne dominated volume. He had 19 carries. Tank Bigsby had 2. He got 5 targets. Bigsby had 1. The issue is when they got on the goal line, it was Tank Bigsby scoring the touchdown, not Travis Etienne. And on this season, both of their goal line touchdowns have gone to Tank Bigsby. Etienne does not have a goal line from the 3-yard line or closer yet this season. That is annoying. Like, can Travis Etienne still be a really good fantasy asset? Maybe even be a low-end RB1 in this role? Sure. But as long as Tank Bigsby is taking those goal line works, his upside is super capped and he does not have the top 5 upside that many people were saying he brought coming into the season.
Yeah, just really frustrating because he really has taken a step forward and it seems like everything's going well. And then here comes Tank Bigsby to take the goal line work and score the touchdowns. At some point, it's going to happen. You have to believe, but that's just a bad sign right now. I'm going to take it one step further because the thing I learned is we need to have a talk about Trevor Lawrence because it hasn't been terrible. It hasn't been great. I mean, this is the guy who was the QB7 last year. They add Calvin Ridley to the offense. We didn't know which Jaguars receiver we wanted to start on a regular basis, but we were sure we wanted to start Trevor Lawrence. Week 1, he was the QB8. That was fine. Week 2 was the QB30. He had that awful game against the Chiefs. And then, into the Sunday night game, he was QB17. When you still have 4 quarterbacks left to play who could bump him down potentially even further this week, you look at the schedule upcoming. They have some tough defenses. They've got the Saints. They've got the Steelers. They've got the 49ers. They've got the Falcons next week, who haven't been awful defensively so far this season. There are a run of teams in the next 6 weeks where you really do worry about Lawrence's performance. And at this point, at best, he's kind of a fringe QB1, which is not at all what we were anticipating coming into the year.
Agreed. I thought he would take the next step, be an MVP candidate, be a must-start option, and he is not that right now. And don't worry, YouTube. I saw all the comments this week about, can you believe this guy is saying to sit Trevor Lawrence QB17 right now with less than 15 fantasy points on the week?
It felt like a week to kind of stay away from Trevor Lawrence. I thought it was a big Travis Etienne week. I mean, it would have been bigger if Tank Bigsby didn't take his touchdown. This is the part of the show where we remind people how good Sam Laporta is.
Me and you were on Sam Laporta since the draft. The beginning. So I don't understand why he is still as available as he is in NFL.com leagues. But this week he went out 11 targets, 8 catches, 84 yards, and a touchdown. 22.4 fantasy points. Is he still the tight end 1 on the week? I know going into, yeah, he has to be because, he's the tight end 1 on the week right now because no one in that Sunday night game did anything. And the only tight end with more fantasy points through 3 games is TJ Hockenson. Why? I don't understand why he is widely available as he is, but moving forward, this is a 2-man game right now in the Detroit Lions passing attack with him and St. Brown. He is a must start tight end in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, just go get him. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to keep fumbling around with, Zach Ertz or something? Like, go get Sam Laporta. He's out there. He's waiting for you to come and claim him.
I have a team where I have Waller and Laporta, and I've been starting Waller, and that changes next week.
Yeah, now, I think it's time to start Sam Laporta. The last thing I learned is that CJ Stroud needs to be on more rosters. That last check, he was rostered in fewer than 10% of NFL.com leagues. And this has become a very pass-heavy offense. Through three games, CJ Stroud has 121 pass attempts. He's got four touchdown passes, no interceptions. Now, I talked about the Trevor Lawrence schedule and some of the defenses that he's playing coming up. CJ Stroud has some of those same defenses coming up. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that he needs to be in your lineup each and every week. But the way he is playing, the way the Texans are having to throw the football, CJ Stroud is a nice pickup and stash. The bye weeks are coming. You're going to have quarterbacks that are going to be off. Inevitably, you're going to have quarterbacks who are going to get injured. If CJ Stroud is out there, and chances are good that he's out there, this is the time to go get him. Get ahead of everybody else in your league. Put him on your roster so that when the bye weeks come, you'll be ready to go. All right, so those are the things we learned. We thought we were going to learn some things about Kyle Pitts. They had a juicy matchup against the Detroit Lions. We kept saying, if it doesn't happen this week, and it's never going to happen. So in the end, he has 9 targets, 5 catches for 41 yards. He had a minus 4-yard rush. So he ends with 8.7 fantasy points. It was like his best day of the year, but it still wasn't great. So now what do we do?
The sad thing is every stat that you said led the Atlanta Falcons this week. Like targets, catches, yards. And it was his best fantasy game of the year. He finished with the same number of fantasy points as Jonnu Smith.
Yep.
Jonnu Smith had 8 targets. I don't know what to do here. To me, look, Kyle Pitts next week is a sit. I think that I don't know if he's droppable just because of the tight end position, but he cannot be your only tight end moving forward. You need to have someone else play the matchups, whatever it may be. But like, this was the best matchup for a tight end, and he didn't even give us 9 fantasy points.
Didn't even give us 9 fantasy points.
Extremely frustrating. And next week they get the Jags. I don't think he's someone you want in your starting lineup.
I don't even know. I really don't know what to do because I have him on a couple of rosters. I'm conflicted because I think you can't drop him, can't start him. You're sort of stuck with him. Nobody's going to trade you for him.
Nope.
So he has become kind of an anchor on your roster. This was like the worst case scenario. If he was like terrible, you could have just been like, I'm dropping him. Or if he was great, you're like, hey, I'm starting him. Like he was mid. And it's like, well, now I don't even know what to do. Ugh. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about some guys who weren't mid. We're going to talk about some of the top performers and some big disappointments, the highs and the lows, none of the in-betweens. That's coming up next on the NFL Fantasy Football Show.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, tapping, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top performers for week 3 heading into the Monday night games. Justin Herbert, your top fantasy quarterback, 405 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, 29.3 fantasy points. Devon Achane went berserk. You want to talk about a huge game. 233 total yards, 200 on the ground, 4 total touchdowns, 2 rushing, 2 receiving, 51 points. Raheem Mostert had himself a day and wasn't even the top running back. Keenan Allen, he had a day as well. The Vikings were just uninterested in standing near him. 18 catches for 215, 49 passing yards and a touchdown. 45 and a half points for Keenan Allen. Sam Laporta, we keep telling you he's good. One day you'll listen to us. 8 catches, 84 yards and a touchdown, 22 points for him. Matt Gay, 5 field goals. You thought, Jake Moody had a day. Matt Gay said, hold my beer. 5 field goals and an extra point. He had 24 fantasy points. And the Bills defense, 9 sacks, 5 takeaways, a touchdown, 3 points allowed, 32 points for them. The Sam Howell honeymoon seems to be over. But let's talk about the Dolphins running backs, because Devon Achane was sort of the headliner, but Raheem Mostert had himself a day. He had over 40 points as well. Look, I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Dolphins aren't going to score 70 points every single week. I'm going to make that bold prediction. But man, this offense is so much fun to watch right now.
The crazy thing is, I'm looking at it right now. Kenneth Walker scored 30 fantasy points this week. He is the only other running back to top 30 points in a game this season. These two dropped 45 or more each in one game. Like it is the most back points a backfield has ever scored in fantasy football history. 8 touchdowns they combined for. I've seen a lot of people being like, this is Achane's backfield now. He's the one to start here. I'm like, no. Start them both.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason to shy away from both of these two, especially against the Bills next week, who I think that's going to be an absolute score fest. It was every time they met last year. And the Bills are allowing almost 6 yards per carry right now to running backs. Like, even Brian Robinson, who struggled, had 7 yards per carry against them. You got to start both.
My plea to Mike McDaniel, don't rush Jeff Wilson back.
Nope.
Take your time. Let this be a 2-man backfield. Let us just decide between Achane and Raheem Mostert. Everything's going fine. Let Jeff Wilson take his time healing up. We don't need 3 guys running the football there in Miami. I mean, right now, if you have a Dolphin, start him. Tua, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle when he's healthy, Achane, Mostert. If you have a Dolphin, you are starting them. They are the most high-powered offense through 3 weeks
that
in
game
the NFL.
Next week we might be talking about it being like both teams scoring in the high 30s or something like that.
Insane. Other running back who had a big week, Zach Moss. And this is 2 weeks in a row that Zach Moss has done some really good things. Now, Jonathan Taylor is eligible to return from injured reserve in 2 weeks. But look, as long as there's no Anthony Richardson, and we'll see what his status is for next week, Zach Moss is getting work and he is doing work with it.
Yeah, over 100 total yards in each of his last 2 games, a touchdown in both, over 20 fantasy points in each. He is a must-start running. Like, next week against the Rams, start him everywhere you have him. He is a must-start back until Jonathan Taylor returns. And at this point, I'm kind of hoping the Colts trade Jonathan Taylor so that we can have 2 good fantasy running backs in our life.
And the thing about it is, it's pretty much been all Zach Moss the last 2 weeks. 98% of the snaps in week 2. 76% of the snaps in week 3. We saw a little bit of Trey Sermon sort of sprinkled in there, but this has been the Zach Moss show. 86% of the rushing attempts in both of those games, weeks 2 and 3. Look, we figured out how to navigate 2-man backfields. A 1-man backfield is heaven for us fantasy types. So thank you, Colts. We appreciate you. I mentioned Keenan Allen, who had himself a day, and I keep seeing Keenan Allen. I say that he is high on the list of wide receivers we take for granted. 20 targets, 18 catches, 216 yards, and he threw a touchdown to Mike Williams. I mean, I would say this is vintage Keenan Allen, but this is even above and beyond vintage Keenan Allen.
Yeah, coming into this game, he was on pace for something like over 1,600 yards, which would have been a career high. And then he just 215 receiving yards, a 50-yard passing touchdown, no big deal. Like, and now with no Mike Williams, you could probably anticipate even more volume going his way. The Chargers are one of the best offenses for receivers, not just because of who's calling the plays and their quarterback, but because their defense allows so many points as well that the Chargers are never comfortably ahead and are always throwing the ball.
We do want to thank the Chargers defense for helping our Chargers in fantasy. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks. Amari Cooper. I'm going to set this up so you can take a victory lap because you were leading the Amari Cooper charge all of last week. And he came through and he could have been even bigger if the refs didn't miss a blatant call on the side, call him out of bounds when he was blatantly in bounds. But even without that, it was still a really good day for Amari Cooper.
Half of it is Amari Cooper's a really good wide receiver that you want to start each and every week. And the other half is you want to start wide receivers against the Tennessee Titans. Yeah. So like this was the perfect storm for Cooper, but he's been getting a lot of volume, been productive. A must start wide receiver as long as he is healthy and in the Browns starting lineup. And yeah, man, that ref, not only was it a terrible call, he was right next.
Right there.
Was no one on the planet closer to Amari Cooper, not even the defender, than that referee was. I have no idea what he saw.
It's funny because when it happened, I just saw people on my timeline just complaining about the call. And it wasn't until a few minutes later that I saw a video of it and just mind blown at how that call was missed.
He might have turned that into, there was one defender to beat.
Yeah, it could have been a touchdown.
And Cooper put him on skates. Like all he had to do, because he stopped after he juked him. He gets by him. That's a touchdown.
Very well could have been another touchdown, which would have made it an even bigger day for Amari Cooper. But those are the guys that we loved. These are the guys that broke our hearts this week. And I saw at one point early in the day, you tweeted out a picture of Nico Collins with like the caption, "Have you seen this man?" We spent all week like hyping up Nico Collins in the Texans passing it. Tank Dell had himself a nice day. Nico Collins was missing in action.
Yeah. And maybe it's a reminder that like, hey, there are going to be growing pains with this Houston Texans offense. I think though, moving forward, Nico Collins and Tank Dell are wide receivers that you want on your roster and more often than not in your starting lineup. Like, there will be down performances like this, but Nico's given us two great games and one bad game. It's not like the one bad game outweighs the two good ones. So to me, I think there's two wide receivers that are fantasy viable and options you could be. Like, I'm still going to start Nico Collins where I've been starting him. This one game isn't changing that for me.
No, I mean, you're sticking with Nico Collins. And it is, as you mentioned, sort of the nature of wide receivers in general that, you know, unless you're talking about a Justin Jefferson or a Stephon Diggs or somebody like that, you're going to have the ups and downs, but the way the Texans are throwing the football, Nico Collins is going to get plenty of opportunity. As I mentioned, Tank Dell still had himself a day. And look, Robert Woods, you know, certainly at the end of his career, but showing that he can get open and earn targets. And having a veteran presence like that is good for a young quarterback like CJ Stroud. So, you know, Bobby Tree is still going to pop in there sometimes. I was big on Kendra Miller. I know I was not alone. A lot of us thought that Kendra Miller was going to have a big opportunity with Jamal Williams hurt. Alvin Kamara still on suspension. It did not work out at all for Kendra Miller. 34 rushing yards. He had one catch for 0 yards in the loss to the Packers. I still believe he's going to have a role even with Kamara coming back. But Florio, this was not what we wanted it to be.
No, and the thing is, none of the Saints came through running back-wise, at least. Like, Tony Jones had 31 rushing yards. He was a little bit more used in the passing game. It was a dud performance for Taysom Hill, who I thought was going to be a sneaky tight end start in this game. To me, part of it is that, like, they all kind of disappointed, but to me, my big takeaway from this is, like, I'm very excited for Alvin Kamara. There's going to be a boatload of volume up for grabs there for him. Neither one of these two were able to separate themselves. I think Miller will be the secondary back moving forward. He could still have a role here. But yeah, I think none of these guys are startable. It's just Kamara or bust here.
We just need to get the memo to Jameis Winston that he's got to throw the ball to Alvin Kamara every once in a while. Like, okay, we get the YOLO thing. That's cool. Get Chris Olave involved. But make sure you're feeding number 41 too. Make sure he gets his targets there. We got to stop trying to make A.J. Dillon a thing.
Yep.
It's just not happening. Right? This was the opportunity. It's been 2 weeks without Aaron Jones, and A.J. Dillon has offered nothing in fantasy. 11 carries, 33 yards against the Saints. Like, it's just not happening with A.J. Yeah, he's got the giant quads, and everybody marvels at him when he's like wearing shorts during training camp. That's about all he's offered to fantasy Twitter so far.
Yeah, in two games without Aaron Jones and all of the volume going to Dillon, he has given you 10.6 fantasy points. And that's in a PPR league. So if you play in non-PPR, it might be even worse. He is not. And this is my thing. Like, running backs don't matter until they do.
Until they do.
And like, yeah, it's easy to be like, oh, look, Le'Veon Bell's backup. Well, yeah, like it was James Conner who has had a great career now. Sometimes I think we need to look at who the backup is. We just always crown the backup as, oh, he's going to be close to what the starter is. And like, nope.
It's just not working for A.J. Dillon. In fact, we saw Patrick Taylor getting more snaps on Sunday because even the Packers are like, hey, this isn't really working out. I went out on a limb and I said my bold prediction this week was that Najee Harris was going to get 125 rushing yards against the Raiders. He got like half of that. 65 rushing yards for Najee. Jalen Warren still looks like the better back. I don't know what you do. What do you do with Najee Harris at this point?
I was with you. I thought this was going to be the Najee Harris week and the get right spot. He had 19 carries and he just didn't do a whole lot with it. Najee's one of those, a lot like Kyle Pitts, too good to drop, not a must start option, but the volume that goes his way is probably too enticing for you to pull from your lineup. I think he's kind of just like, you're stuck with him at this point.
I mean, right, he's now a low end RB2, but probably more of an RB3 at this point. And like, it's just hard to decide what to do with him on a weekly basis. That'll do it for this edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. Be sure to check out tomorrow's show for all of our top waiver wire targets. Plus, we're hitting up the fan mailbag to answer all your questions. Stay happy, safe, and healthy. Do good and live well. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My check engine light's on.
That could hurt your gas mileage. The AutoZone free fix finder service can help find the fix for free.
Get in zone.
This whole report for free?
That's right. Printed and on your phone for free.
Get in zone.
But what if the fix is too tough?
We'll recommend a local shop. Fix Finder, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.